Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Hey, Vink. Busy.
Busy? What you been up to?
Well, this week's the 30th anniversary of the Famicom, and it's also the 6th anniversary of Famicom Dojo.
Oh my gosh, it's been 6 years?
Yeah, but, you know, wow. 30 years of Famicom, that's more... Yeah, 6 years is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
30 years of Famicom? I mean... I guess that makes sense, because I don't really remember a time when there wasn't a Famicom.
Yeah.
So
some people have lived without Famicom Dojo most of their lives, though.
That's true. That's true.
We should change that.
We really should. We really should. So what's kept you so busy?
Yeah, so because of that, we wanted to get something out that's a little bit special, but also lets people know that we are still alive and kicking on the YouTube world. As some commenters mentioned, that they're really glad that we're reviving the show, and that that led me to ask if it was ever dead.
Ooh.
So
revival isn't for something that's dead. You could like revive from a coma, you could like revive from. It's not a good meaning, is it?
No. But I understand where it's coming from, because people like it and want more season two stuff. People want just more of the kinds of thing that we're popular for doing, and we haven't been doing so much lately. The on the go stuff's fun, but people very specifically ask us to do like release a new episode and not on the go.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I the on the go episodes were never meant to be a replacement, and I really do like doing them. I don't know. I wonder if other people like them.
They do. I mean, they become some of the strangely most popular stuff we put up, probably because it's been the most frequent since around this time last year. Well, I guess it's more like September, but you know, now that we're in July, and this week is. These anniversaries, we got two videos in the works, and one will go up on our new YouTube channel.
We've got a new YouTube channel?
We sure do. I mean, you shouldn't sound that surprised, great. Because if they watched the video, that was clearly done before this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
although in the video you don't seem to know we have a podcast either, so maybe it's appropriate.
Yeah, that's fine. It's okay, I feigned surprise in that video as well.
Oh, you're faking it, I see.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna tell you something, guys. Sometimes when one of us acts surprised in a video, or there is a little bit of pre-planning that goes on in our videos. Not all of it is on the fly.
That one Xbox 180 vlog I did, or sorry, no, the Why Can't My Trade Crawl one. One commenter doesn't seem to get the joke. It's like, you know, she's called Samus Aran, and she's a girl. yeah
I like it when people like let us know about some of the Famicom things. We got a lot of comments on the old man video, like, that's not really Nintendo's history. And I'm like, they started out as a card company.
Although to be fair, when we didn't go into Nintendo's actual history, people were, I guess, justifiably upset.
Yeah, I know.
I still think it's a fun episode. Man.
The old man video. There's these promos coming out. If you're on our new channel, you might have seen one of them already.
Mm-hmm. If you're on the old one, you've hopefully seen that one too.
Yeah. Well, by the time this podcast comes out, there might be a couple of them on there. But, yeah. Watching some of these things, like we're trying to, you know, remaster it in HD, so everything's letterboxed with these borders and things. Oh man, the old man video looks really terrible these days.
I think the source was less than 640 by 480.
Yes, it was 320 by 200 was the source. Not of the video, just of the old man clips.
Yeah,
because that was before I had an HD camera, and that was before, and it was at the time when my DV camera, like, you know, my regular SD resolution camera, it had died. It was a tape based camera.
Wow.
And it had died, so the only way I could record a video was off my, at the time, I believe it was off my camera phone.
Yikes.
Yeah. No, it wasn't off my camera phone. It was off, like, a an old like digital camera that was like, I think it had a maximum resolution of 2 megapixels, but it could only record video at like 320 by 200.
That explains quite a lot.
Well, it also explains why the sound is so terrible. And I mean, after that video, shortly after that, I got the new video camera, which still lacks a microphone. So the picture looks fine, but the sound is still pretty bad. And the first thing I recorded with that video camera, do you know?
Probably microphone roundup.
No. It was right after I got it. I recorded a Koshu Denwa music video.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, so that like reminds me of like three things, that little story. So that camera breaking is why you didn't see any new footage of Vink from the first two episodes. Although we should probably explain what that means too, because no one had seen it before. Well, maybe not no one. And then the second thing being that it's an HD camera, but we weren't in HD yet because I didn't have one. So we downscaled everything and cropped it. So it was all letterbox in HD. So I've actually gone through, and this is for when we actually do the Kickstarter and get the season 2 DVD out there. I actually went back to the source, and I have like 540p sources, so they're not quite, you know, they're half HD, but I don't think we have full HD versions of those anymore, do we?
Of which ones?
Any like the Denshi Mail stuff?
My footage probably, because I don't throw anything away ever. Oh. But anything edited together, no, it's okay. All gone. The raw footage I've still got,
but it's better than the 480, which is what my camera was recorded those Denshi mails at, so they should be on par again, and it's all widescreen, so I made sure to remaster those. And that's something, a project I started undertaking earlier this year. Part of the reason we haven't put out a lot of stuff is because we're just preparing for all the awesomeness that's coming out, including what these promos are showing off, which is a return to Famicom goodness.
Oh, there's so, well, yeah, return to Famicom, but I mean, one of the requests we get all the time, and I'm gonna, is for Satellaview, and there's a viewer right now, oh, sorry, listener right now, who says that every time I say Satellaview, he goes a little crazy, and if he's driving right now, if you're driving right now, turn your podcast off right now.
You've already said it twice.
I know, but say Satellaview. So
that's mean.
If he was driving during that time and he didn't heed my warning, might be dead right now.
I don't know. This is not good. wasn't there a third thing? There's a third thing that started reminding me of, and I can't remember now. Well, maybe we should go back and explain a little history of the show since it's been 6 years. But first, I think we should play some voicemail. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that. We finally got two to play.
So we mentioned about a month ago we were doing the Kickstarter on the podcast here, and we got some calls. And now we've announced it in our video promos as well. And so we've been getting a lot of great feedback ever since then. We had some people offering to help us with various things, just to get it going. But the most important feedback, I think, is like people's excitement level for what we're going to do. So this is our first one.
Hello. Long time listener, first time caller. my name's Ian. I was listening to your podcast talking about the Kickstarter. Please do this. $30 or $40 for a Blu-ray, I'll pitch it in. That would be amazing. I bet my brother would as well. He actually, I had your first DVD, and he's a strange person who has no computer or internet, and so I was like, hey, check these guys out. And he absolutely loved it. So, I don't know, keep up the good work, you two.
Cool. So,
no computer or internet.
This
wow.
is why we have to release discs.
I think so. Oh my gosh, that is one man that the Xbox One is not made for.
Yeah, right. But you know, retro consoles, Xbox 360. Ooh, is that a retro console now? What I'm trying to say
is that retro now.
I mixed up two thoughts right there.
All right,
no, just thinking back to what was said about, you know, people didn't want the Xbox One, they still had the 360. But
yeah, but
Famicom doesn't need internet, that's for sure.
I think that's very cool, though, that like that someone watched our show for the first time on the DVD. I mean, a lot of people get the DVD to kind of help us out, to kind of support the show, and you know, for the extra goodies that aren't on the net thing. But like, to see it for the first time on the DVD, that's got to be kind of an interesting experience. Thank you, Ian, for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Thanks for the support. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got one more that was a little more recent.
Okay.
But so to set this one up, we finally crossed 400 Twitter followers, and I offered the 400th follower a free DVD, which apparently shot his plans in the foot for supporting our Kickstarter. So we'll let him speak in his own words.
Hi, this is Joshua Nichols, also known as Atomic Daikaiju, the 400th Twitter follower to Famicom Dojo. Sean, I just want to say thanks for the DVD. Thank you again for the DVD that you're, I believe, sending off today. Completely unexpected, and I'm looking forward to watching it. To Vink, I would love to see the Satellaview content alone. So if you do see, if you do decide to do a Kickstarter, I will happily fund it, because I was going to buy a DVD anyway, but Sean ruined that. Anyway, thanks, guys, and keep on trucking.
Is that what we do?
So Sean, I mean, there were only going to be like 12 people in the world who were going to support our Kickstarter anyway, and now and now it's down to 11.
Well, God, if that's the case, then we shouldn't even do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wonder if that's why the, you know, I think some people are now kind of holding back, thinking that the season one DVD is going to be a reward for Kickstarter. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. It is. But we are also, for the people who already have the season one DVD, we're going to be offering something that will still, you know, shouldn't prevent them from buying it now if they don't want to. And, you know, even if you do want it, it's nice to get that reward and then just give it to a friend. Like, say your brother doesn't have internet or hopefully electricity, though.
For your grandmother.
Yeah, who likes retro gaming. It could happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. If you have a grandmother who likes retro gaming, we'd like to hear about it. Please call our voicemail.
That's 608-492-1923. We should probably mention what the Kickstarter is in case no one listens to a previous podcast where we mentioned it.
Oh, that's very possible. Okay, let's go ahead.
So the thing we want to do, because our Season 2 stuff was HD, as we were mentioning earlier, we kind of had this little problem where we were competing against ourselves on YouTube, and we don't want to release a substandard product, but Blu-ray authoring is way, way more expensive. Also, we also don't want to leave out anyone who doesn't have a Blu-ray player, so we want to release a combo Blu-ray DVD set, which, as you can imagine, brings the price way up. So, if we do our fun little Kickstarter, we can not only fund the disc set, but then everyone who would ever buy one, it just brings down the price for everyone.
Yeah, and I think that's really, really good. And, like, even if you do have a Blu-ray player, you're like, you know, having a DVD is kind of nice. For the DVD player in your car, or, just have an SD format to rip to your phone or something like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna work on that. We're not gonna have some crazy, unrealistic Kickstarter goal, because we haven't really even talked about stretch goals. We just kind of want to get, you know, enough to do this and do it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really the main thing. Like, this isn't like, please fund this so that we have money to go to art school so that we can have better art for future episodes. You know, it's nothing right. Like that. We're just like, this is how much money we need to make a Blu-ray, and please help us out there, and you get a Blu-ray.
That seems pretty cool to me.
I think so. I think so. And, I mean, we'll have little extras. Oh, my gosh, we get asked so many times about things like T-shirts and...
Yeah.
stuff like that. So we're working to try to make that happen. Right now, t-shirt printing is kind of expensive. I'm thinking of starting screen printing myself, but then it's the cost of getting things from Japan. So
yeah. So we probably wouldn't save a lot of money there, but with the Kickstarter, we're definitely hoping to offer a t-shirt as one of the rewards, so that will get us moving on the whole t-shirt thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So, like, even if you've already got season one, we should have plenty of incentives to support our little Kickstarter, and I think that might be enough about that.
Yeah. So we should go back, I guess, back into the deep recesses of the past, back a year before Famicom Dojo even started, in 2006, which would be 7 years ago.
That's oh my gosh, that's my old apartment, right?
Yeah. In fact, I've never seen where you currently live.
Oh, you're right. You haven't. You haven't because we've just met twice for different TGSs since then.
Yep, I have never been back to Kyushu since then.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So. Yeah, you haven't. You haven't.
Yeah. So
the only time you've met my wife and kid was in Wisconsin.
Yep. Yeah. So I met her before you guys got married, of course. But since I've seen any of you, it's been back in the States.
And that'll be the next time. Oh, we should announce that right now.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody's going to be in Wisconsin on the 25th of August. You have your chance to meet us.
Yes. We
at the same time.
Yeah, we are going to be at the Madison Underground on August 25th. That's held at a place called the Broom Street Theater on Willie Street, also known as Williamson Street, near downtown Madison. It's a fun, nice, cozy little atmosphere there. I like the guys who run it. They're pretty cool, and I've seen a lot of interesting independent Madison film there as well. A lot of those guys work with or for WYOW as well, which is the local public access station. So that's sort of kind of how that all got linked up. So that's pretty cool. But so we'll be there on. It's a Sunday night, unfortunately. So if you guys have travel plans, take Monday off. Why not?
yeah. I mean. I'm sure your Vink boss is. Will understand. Yes, I am. I'm sure your boss will understand that you need to go to Wisconsin.
Yes.
To meet the cast of a internet video show about 30-year-old video games. It's a good excuse to me.
I think so. If that doesn't work,
and since I am a doctor, I can write notes.
Oh, dear.
I'm not a doctor. But I have a signature like a doctor.
Does that even count?
I don't know. Probably not. But if you are in the local area or, you know, within a couple hours drive, come on down. And it's going to be a small little event. We'll have time to chew the fat afterwards, talk. which is chew the fat. I don't know. It's Wisconsin, so there
right, might
be
you might chew the
fault.
Fat while you're talking.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier than coming to Japan.
True. If that doesn't work out for you, though, I will at least be by myself, I believe, at GeekCon on Friday night. They're having a little fundraiser for I forget what exactly, but I'm this is a great plug. But I've been asked to help with that by playing through the Lost Levels with some other people.
Oh, are you gonna play through it on the Famicom or on the Super Nintendo version?
To my understanding, it's the Super Nintendo version, just because they don't have access to the Famicom version, which I guess I have.
You've got it. Why don't you volunteer to bring it? That'd be a bigger draw, wouldn't it?
That would be interesting. Maybe we'll get this working out properly after all. You know, maybe it has something to do with dying. Maybe there's a reason. Because once you get to a certain level, you can start over and like load up that level right away. Yeah, I think it might have something to do with it.
Maybe
we can't.
So we'll post the dates of those times that we're going to be in the States. Come out and see us if you have a chance.
All right. So going back to the Land of the Rising Sun in 2006.
Yes.
It was not my first time in Japan. It was my second. I had lived there 10 years ago when I was doing a study abroad program at the same university.
Oh, wow.
That
it has
that
been 10 years.
I know, right? So I decided that I wanted to come back to Japan as often as possible, and I got my chance finally in 2006. So that this trip had been pushed off for months and months and months, and finally I was able to go. And so I met Vink in Kyushu. Got to go back to Nagasaki where we both studied separately,
yep.
not at the same time. Stay with my host family, who was super duper gracious, and notice how fat I'd gotten in the 3 years I'd been back in America.
They had a next box.
What?
Like the company Steve Jobs formed when he left Apple. It was called Next Computing.
Was it in that bedroom?
It was in that bedroom. I still remember that. I'm like,
oh my gosh,
that's incredible that they had that, because those were not cheap computers.
Their
Next box.
Their son was in the video games, but he was already moved out of and away from home by the time that I was staying there. But while I was there, I frequented a lot of different shops, and I never got to really see a Famicom in person. Because I went to places like Hard Off. Did I even see one there? But it was the 20th anniversary of the Famicom the year I was there.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, man, I need to know more about this. Because I had gone to gashapon vending machines, and I had gotten all these little tiny versions of that Navy Famicom.
Oh, I
the keyboard.
Those.
Like things that I all own now. Like there was one at the Twin Famicom, but I didn't get that one.
I got a Rob.
You got a Rob? That was
and
part
it had
of it?
All the little pieces, yeah.
Oh my god. Like all the little stack up pieces or something?
Yeah, stack
that
gyromite
is
robot for clock, yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, so there. I should take a picture. We're on Instagram now, and I've been taking pictures and putting them up. That's one I could definitely do. Well, yeah. All right. So it's probably already up by the time you hear this podcast for the 30th anniversary here. But by the time I came back to Japan, I was I the one that really wanted to see a Famicom, or were you just really happy to show me one? I can't remember how this happened.
I'm not exactly sure how it happened. I think we were just going from some retro shop. I think we went into the actual Famicom Dojo first.
That must have been it.
Because I wanted to introduce you to my friend Hiro.
Okay.
And while we were there, you
probably
you
just lost
bought
my
a Famicom. No, it's different order there.
Yeah, we got
you
the
had
disc
your
system
Famicom
there
first, and you bought your disc system there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we went to a different store and ended up buying a couple of Famicoms, actually, because one of them was really dirty,
yes.
But worked great. The other one was not looked great, but didn't work. So
that was the one you got at Wampaku.
Okay.
Wampaku was the one. And the other shop, I think the one that you got your Famicom that we actually use in the show doesn't exist anymore. I think that shop is gone.
Oh, no. Well, the one that we use in the show, was that the result of swapping the cases or not?
Yes, we have a picture of it actually.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what we did. We bought all these games, all this stuff. Got a disc system. Hiro was super duper awesome, and essentially gave me a bunch of games.
Okay, some of the games that were in this stack of games that Hiro just threw in with his disc system were, the Who Framed Roger Rabbit game, which is actually a...
not very good.
It's a great game. Have you played the disc system version?
Apparently I haven't yet. I think I popped it in to see the title screen at least.
Because it's not the Who Framed Roger Rabbit game that got released in America.
Right, I know that much.
It is Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle with Roger Rabbit substituted in.
Okay.
Which was a good, well, I don't know if it was a great game, but it was a pretty good game. But that game alone retails for about $80. And you got that as a freebie. You got Gyrus,
jeez,
which has an awesome soundtrack. Gyrus? Gyrus? What do you think?
Gyrus. I'm
Gyrus.
Pretty
okay.
sure.
The Konami game. Excellent soundtrack on I think that was the first game that we really kind of heard what the FM synthesis was like.
Because
we didn't have a Zelda at that time.
Right, when that whole story Yeah.
Because Hero gave you a Zelda, yeah, but Wrecking Crew was on it.
So yeah, that was something that anyone remembers the first episode is something that we mentioned, and you know, it wasn't a joke, it was something that actually happened, and Hero was super duper cool and gave us you know, let us return it. But yeah, we like got all this stuff. We went back to your apartment, tore apart these Famicoms to make one work, just explored all these games, because I had never, you know, I had heard about this stuff, but I had never seen hardly any of it. And I know you hadn't seen a lot of it either in person. So
no,
it's just, it's like awesome weekend. Actually, I was there for about a week, wasn't I, of discovery. And I wanted to use my powers for good, you know. I was given this gift, essentially, and it's like I got to share it with the world, kind of thing.
Well, you'd already kind of started making videos, kind of like your That's Music and That's Something Else.
Yeah, so Powitz TV started in 2005, and I had been trying to find my own little voice within that organization at the time, and so I hadn't done anything yet video wise. But I was kind of building up to it. So I got my chance in 2006 after I came back from Japan. And I sort of hunkered down and like made some videos about my experiences in Japan in 2003. That weren't intended to be made into videos for public consumption. There was just like a lot of like pictures and snippets and stuff set to music. And this is before YouTube was even bought by Google. So you could do that kind of thing with impunity. Those videos have since been taken down because I think one got flagged for the Hikaru Tada song I used. Those are all gone now. I can put up somewhere else, I bet. But anyway, that got me into the, you know, video editing thing. And around the same time, Phil Bond had released his Rob videos, and I helped him with like not that one, but with Tataka's song, for instance. Like I was the guy on film and helped him with editing and stuff because I had already done all this with my editor. Actually, let me think about that. He used some professional editing tools as well. The sequence of events doesn't really. Anyway, so I wanted to team up with him to get something about the Famicom done, and we shot something that we never, ever, ever, ever used.
I saw it. I remember seeing it.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was more in his style, and I think the idea was like we'd kind of like both do one and see what worked better, put them on our channels, but we never used his. And then I went home and I was like, you know, I don't, there's something missing with this that I really enjoy doing, which is being a complete nutty goofball. Like, you know, Phil stuff is very matter of fact, and funny, but like not goofy funny, right?
Kind of a dry humor. I love Phil Bond stuff.
Yeah.
His Totaka song video is still one of the best game videos I've seen.
Oh, definitely. And he keeps getting these bogus tips.
Yeah.
And we found out what that's like when we put up that clip of the sped up GameCube menu music, and everyone's always like, "Oh, this is Totaka's song."
Yeah.
No, it's not. But yeah, so what ended up happening was before that pilot, I had gone to Zach, who was the head of Power TV at the time, and I was like, "Look, I have these clips that I recorded of the Famicom. I don't really know what to do with this. I haven't made a show before. Can you kind of help us by like doing some narration over our clips and stuff?" So he, you know, we kind of collaborated, but it was mostly up to him to kind of make a show around it. And so it was just called Powit in Japan, and it was me and Vink talking about the Famicom, and it's up on his YouTube channel, I believe. So it's
really?
Not on mine.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh yeah, if you go to the website, it's like in season 0, episode 0 or something.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So you'll see a lot of the same clips because I ended up using anything with Vink in it for our first actual episode. Because he couldn't be in it.
I remember you were thinking, what on earth should we call this show?
Yeah.
And you were thinking of a number of things, and I'm like, let's call it Famicom Dojo. And you're like, can we call it Famicom Dojo? And I'm like, I'm sure Hero will be okay with it. He's watched a few of the videos, especially the ones he's in, I've shown him, and he's like, oh, those are great, those are great. Does anybody care? You know? And I'm like, yes, I think.
I hope.
But So yeah, we decided to call it that. And the original plan was like we were gonna do this, and it was gonna come out. I don't know, pretty soon after you left Japan, but.
It took over a year.
My camera broke,
yep.
And I pretty much could. Although I remember helping at least with the first two scripts.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I didn't do this alone.
But like our original draft, way back, was different because there were parts that I was going to speak in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to edit anything out like that, and the only parts that I was in was archive footage.
So it was really kind of a bummer, right? Because like our first episode was just not getting off the ground, and I think I had been trying so many different things, and it was probably like late at night, and I just kind of lost my mind a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, we're just gonna just go all out nutty here, and that's where the talking consoles came in, the WarioWare spoofs, like stuff I did not plan. It just kind of came out by, like, you know, the seat of our pants. Everything else that, like, I spoke and talked about the information was part of the original script, but like I didn't mean for the talking consoles to. Sorry.
The WarioWare spoof, whereas anybody who doesn't know WarioWare, it's the one that's like the Famicom Disk System. If you played the game, it's funny, but I remember that was like the hardest part of that entire episode to make.
Oh,
because you were trying to isolate the sound without the voice.
Yeah, there's really not any part where the music plays without someone talking, so I sort of had to piece together like a couple of different things where there was a little bit of overlap without voice, and oh god, good times.
Oh, I remember watching that video, and I remember just being like, wow, Sean actually put this together. This looks wonderful. And I'm like, I need to be in an episode. But it still wasn't until episode 3 that anything new for me came in at all.
Yeah, but you know, we made this really fast. Like, I think each episode was like 3 weeks apart, which just gives you the kind of idea of like the kind of lack of planning but high turnarounds time we were able to do. I watched episodes 2 recently in order to make a promo for it for our new channel, and yep. I didn't understand the point I was trying to make until like the very end.
Yep. I mean, it's called the battery backup, but yeah, it really doesn't. It should have been called, gosh, what would have been a better name for it? Episode 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. The point
was to explain kind of like, you know, why in Japan they had the Famicom Disk System, and like very briefly I mentioned the data recorder, like very, very briefly, and we're actually going to get around back to that. We're actually going to do a full episode about the data recorder this year as part of our 30th anniversary review. But I very briefly mentioned it, and I'd screw up and say Excite Truck instead of Excite Bike because I loved Excite Truck so much.
Oh my gosh, we were both really into Excite Truck at the time. This is early in the days of Wii. And yeah, I picked it up at Famicom Dojo.
Mm.
I just saw it and I'm like, ah, Excite Truck, is that any good? But I played it a little there and I'm like, oh wow, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Doing custom soundtracks and stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, well, what happened after that? We went to Tokyo Game Show, and then nothing happened until like February of the next year.
Well, we put together those Tokyo Game Show videos, which actually hold up pretty well.
I think so, but like the big problem was that nothing came out like around Tokyo Game Show time. Like we just were not prepared to do this.
Part 3 came out when it was almost a year after.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were better with our next Tokyo Game Show, but there's still a few videos from there that need to come out.
Which people will see as part of our Kickstarter. See how I brought that back around?
Oh, that was nice. Yeah, that was nice. Really? People can see unseen Famicom Dojo episodes if they support the Kickstarter?
That's right, Vink.
Oh.
We might even include our first ever unseen video with Phil Bond. I probably shouldn't have promised that. I need to get his clearance first.
Yeah, we should.
It's like if you saw the version of Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz.
Ooh.
Oh man, how did I bring a Back to the Future reference into this?
Back to the Future references are one of the hallmarks of the Famicom Dojo podcast. You don't even need to think about them. They just they just
happen.
Materialize themselves.
Jeez. So yeah. This show is just so much fun to make, and that's why we've been doing it for 6 years, and I'm so sorry it's taken what, 3 for season 2 to
But I mean, look at it this way. Famicom Dojo has been going on for 6 years, and in that time we've made, what, 12 episodes?
Yeah, numbered, right? And specials and stuff. Like, we've done so much other stuff, and so when someone's like, when can you put out a real video, it's like, look at all this look at all this stuff we're doing. But people don't want to see that stuff as much. And I understand, it's just that these other things take so much more work, which is part of the reason why you haven't seen us release a lot of stuff. We've been doing the podcast, of course, and it takes up some of our time, but we've been really thinking of how to get into this Famicom thing again. And I don't know, we just really had to buckle down, kind of retool the show, and kind of cover the things that we sort of glossed over jumping right into the 16-bit era.
And we'll get there, and we'll get there, and it comes in spurts, as you've realized. I mean,
oh my.
During just between now and the end of August, I think we've got 4 different videos that are going to be released.
Yep.
And then it might be dry for a little while. Then there'll be more. It's something we're always working on. And if we're not, we're always thinking about it. Oh my gosh! Do you know how many times this man emails me like every day about Famicom Dojo?
I'm so sorry.
I get like 11, 12 emails a day about things like Vink. I just saw something that we could put in a video.
Yeah, I would not.
Toast the other day, and the burn shape looked a little bit like a Triforce. Okay, maybe
not that bad, but no. But when like the whole why can't Metroid crawl thing happened, and I was playing Super Metroid, and I was getting into the sequence breaking stuff for the first time, I just like freaked out, and I was sending them all these messages, and then I recorded all this video of like me doing the sequence breaking and put them up in our shared folder, and I was like, you should watch these, and he's never watched them.
Well, at least. Listen, at least I backed them up.
Yes, thank you. Yes, we almost lost half of them because I was an idiot and didn't. I pasted them into that directory instead of copying them. And yeah.
But I'll get around to watching them. And
you'll see it when the video's done.
Yep, and I sent you some of the. I've sent you some new footage too, so we've got a video that there's about 4 videos right now that have everything done and filmed and ready.
Yeah.
They have to be put together, labeled and thrown up on YouTube, and then you may watch them at our new channel.
Yes, the one I'm happiest about is coming up in just a few weeks here. We're trying to get some more clips together, make sure we've covered all of our bases. For the current generation of consoles and handhelds and whatnot, but it's something we've been meaning to make for a while. I even got some help from Juwario, aka J-Dub, aka
Famicom Rider.
Yeah, why not?
But we started filming that about 9 months ago, and we started writing it about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that one was actually supposed to come out last year, but our momentum gets killed by real life sometimes. And
well, not just that. Like, the original thing was going to be like a 5-minute video, but right now it's sitting at like 15 minutes.
Yeah, just under 15.
Adding.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was that we're trying to focus more on like tips and tricks and stuff you can do with games, and. A lot of the time, if like just take our research for granted and don't try things out, we don't learn anything. But like just by playing through this stuff, making mistakes, doing our own discovery, it's like, oh my god, this is like this, and I don't think anyone realized this thing. So I'm hoping that this is like going to be a big episode.
What's weird about Famicom Dojo is, as we continue to research all these things, and I read a lot of books. That's how I help, and I don't know. I memorize a lot of facts that have no real, that I think have no real bearing. Except sometimes Sean will bring up something, and I'll be like, "Did you know that that company also did this and this at this time with this?" And we realize that pretty much everything in the retro world is connected.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially like Hudson and Sharp together. Not Hudson, sorry. Hudson and NEC together, and then to some extent, like Sharp. Like the interconnectedness between those companies and Nintendo goes back before the Famicom and persists afterwards in some cases.
Yeah, just amazing things like that that we're still kind of just scratching the surface on. And then sometimes what's really easy is like a lot of shows and ourselves included, you know, it's very easy to just go, okay, basically I'm going to make Wikipedia the television show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, what's today's episode? Type the name of a game or console. But the thing is, what's going on with this is we're doing a lot of original research, too. And I think we could have saved us a lot of time if, say, we're showing how to do a video game trick or we want to get some screens. If we just pulled from someone else's review video on YouTube, but we don't. We play every game that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
All the footage in a Famicom Dojo episode is us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you'll notice that there's a lot of death that goes on in our episodes, because as it turns out, we're not very good players.
Yeah, when I was recording the Super Metroid stuff, and then I saw an actual, like, you know, sequence breaker speedrunner go through it, I was like, I know nothing. I'm going to be embarrassed to put this up.
But that's just the thing, though. Like, making this show has also been kind of really educational for us. We're learning a lot. And if only we could find a way to make that, the stuff we've learned, come out in a more regular basis. I mean, to put, I don't know. Maybe we're going about this wrong, Sean.
How so?
I don't know. I've been watching these videos lately, and it's just like some dude talking. Like one shot, one camera. And talking about video game stuff, and it's like, or what was I watching recently? This one dude's talking about games, and he's got a clip from a game running that's not the game he's talking about. He's like, I don't know, playing some like first-person shooter like Halo or something, but then he's expounding upon something, some industry news. Like he was talking about like how there shouldn't be DRM, but in the background there's like, I don't know, some third-person shooter. Or a first-person shooter game going on that's not really related in any way. It's just kind of like the background video.
Sure.
I'm looking and I'm like, okay, this video was posted last week and it's got 30,000 views? Oh, what are we doing? You know? That's what we expect a video to get to after like 4 years.
Yeah. Although the GameCube one's doing pretty well. It's 25. It's going to eclipse our previous fast up and comer, which was the 3D special, the Famicom 3D system, which was from 2011. So that's just a video that's like maybe a year and a half older, and it's almost surpassed it. But you know, that's the kind of thing that we can expect like at best right now. And I want more. I'll admit it right now. I'm greedy. Yeah, I want more.
I know. But I think we've been going about this all wrong, Sean.
Well, like I watch things like Classic Game Room, and it's like just console porn. It's so lovely.
So I like watching Classic Game Room. It's soothing to me. But at the same time, like I realized that from the beginning, we always kind of started Famicom Dojo to look like a television show.
Right.
But it seems like a lot of YouTube videos, especially really popular ones, look like, I don't know, hostage videos. you know, like, it's kind of like one shot, blank wall, you know, and it's a guy talking about a thing.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why our stuff takes so long to put together, because there's just so much editing involved. Even these promos, just meticulously planned and edited.
But I don't know. maybe the thing is, a lot of the comments we get are something like, show more of the console, don't talk.
Yeah, like don't I want to see this goofy looking guy talking about stuff. I want to see game footage.
The ones that heard it were like, you're not as funny as you think you are.
Stop trying to rip off the angry video game nerd shtick by pretending you don't know how bad these games are.
And I'm like, oh, but I don't think I'm that funny. So if I'm not even as funny as I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Have you noticed there's a lot of angry people on the internet?
I have noticed that. I'm not sure where all this anger comes from, though.
Angry Joe, and there's the angry video game nerd, and there's the irate gamer, and there's a lot of it. I don't know. I really like video games.
Yeah.
Like, and no offense to them. I watch all their stuff. That's why I know about them. I think they're very funny, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I really like video games, and I don't want to make fun of them. If there's like a really bad video game, I kind of just don't play it. But
you know, I've run into some of these guys at conventions, especially like MAGFest, and like, you know, just happen to be on like a shuttle with them, strike up a conversation. They have no idea who I am.
Well, of course not. I mean, I don't know. That's what gets mad though. Like, would you watch a reality show where everybody gets along? Or like if they made Survivor like that, it was just a beach vacation. It would be called Beach. I don't know. You know, you wouldn't want it. The conflict is what sells it. But oh no, they're like Howard Stern, and we're like Ira Glass. Not that Ira Glass isn't. Oh, but not as popular as Ira Glass.
Oh dear.
But I guess when you go back to the early history of it, though, too, for Famicom Dojo, it really kind of took over the other stuff I was doing. I was writing for Four Color Rebellion, and I would write pretty much a lot of the stuff like we do for Four Color Rebellion right now. I mean, like we do for Famicom Dojo right now. I had a column called Far From Tokyo, where I talked about gaming in a small town. And I did a weekly podcast segment called Rebel in Japan, which basically were audio-only versions of stuff we do for Famicom Dojo.
Right.
You're talking about some kind of retro topic for about five, six minutes. You know, they got longer as they went along, just like our videos.
Which a lot of those we've sort of imported and rebranded as, like, what was it?
Missing Vink.
the Vink to the Past.
Vink to the Past.
Yeah, yeah. So we've sort of imported and rebranded those as Vink to the Past videos because the Rebel in Japan thing doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But everyone knows what Zelda is, right? So.
Yeah.
And then someone's going, "Oh, I get it." That's true. But yeah, if you go to our podcast website, we have those linked in the show notes. Those were supposed to be like audio bonuses, so they're not in our podcast feed. To get you to go to the website, and almost no one does.
Yeah, but you should. I'd say almost nobody does, but I'd say a lot of our videos have been getting like, 15, 20 comments in our comment section, which is great. I really like interacting with our fans. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and that's something I really kind of want to do more of. Our Denshi Mail videos were meant to be more fan interaction. They're supposed to come out way more frequently. But we at some point, because it was the only thing we were doing, like in 2009, after we had like wrapped up season one, I think we just kind of felt like we had to put more into it because we weren't releasing anything else.
Yeah.
And they became kind of more infrequent. And the bar became too high to make them very frequently.
And that's the thing. The Denshi mail was originally thrown in that we could make something very quickly, very mm-hmm. easily, so they could come out frequently. I think our original plan was once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I actually recorded the first three of them because we had them all written out. I recorded the first three of them all in one day.
We never... Oh, my gosh. We have footage for a Denshi mail that never came out.
Do we?
Vending machines.
Oh, but no one really asked us a question about that, did they?
I don't remember. But, oh my gosh, there's that footage exists. That's like five-year-old footage now.
Yeah.
You know, do you still have that?
Yeah, of course.
Just put that together. Put that up.
Yeah. We could put it on the new channel. Yeah, also, you know, mentioning 4CR reminded me. I think that's how you became involved, actually, with what became Famicom Dojo, was because I was trying to do this thing with Phil, but you yep. came to me and you're like, you know, do you want to make videos for 4CR? And I was like, well, you know, I've been struggling to get an idea done for Powit, and I don't feel like I can do both. So why don't we just say it's a 4CR Powit joint venture? And
I think I strong-armed you into it.
Yeah, yeah. Because I couldn't remember how you got involved. It's like, did I come to you and ask you for help? It's like, no, that wasn't it. That you wanted me to help you guys out. Because what had I made by that point? Was it just like my videos of being in Japan? Because I think that was my most popular stuff at the time.
Just your videos of being in Japan, but you had announced these plans you had. But it was going to be you and some of the Powit people who was going to put them together, and I wanted in.
Right.
That
thing with Zach was up already, and since you were in that footage, you never saw that?
I might have. I'll have to see.
It's been 7 years.
What you did with Phil Bond. You sent me a copy of.
Yeah.
So I watched that, but that never actually materialized into anything.
Huh.
But you were emailing back and forth, though. I knew there was something in progress. And then instead of just me being in them, I'm like, because originally I was planning to do a video about Rob, because I had a Rob, remember?
Right, right.
At the Famicom robot.
Yes.
And I was going to. And then I watched the one that got made, and I'm like, I can't do a video anymore. The subject's already been thoroughly covered
yep.
by this video. All I'd be doing is treading on it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to start making videos soon, or all of these topics are going to be taken. And originally I thought it would be like you and me and the Powit guys.
Yeah, well, that's not really how it worked.
I don't know. I think this partnership that we formed 6 years ago is still working out really, really well.
Yes.
Even though so much has changed. Let's go back 6 years.
Sure.
Neither of us were married.
No.
There are now three new lives in, you know.
Almost four.
Almost four at this point that have come into being who have all made cameos in episodes already.
Yeah, we should probably start keeping like track of the production babies. No.
But I don't know. A couple of people have mentioned that they're like, "Wow, she's getting so big," and I'm like, "You are an anonymous person on the internet. How do you?" And I'm like, "I guess so, though. That if you watch the Famicom Dojo videos." You see my daughter go from being like basically this kid who can only just chew on Owen Don copies
mm-hmm.
to speak parts in the episodes.
Jumping up and down in front of a Bomberman machine.
Exactly. So, oh yeah, watch our new Bomberman video. I've been working on that for over a year.
Yeah, I found the original footage and I was surprised to see it was a year old. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. Because your brother was in that one.
With my brother playing it, but like at the time I didn't really understand the mechanics of the game, so the video was going to have narration, but like then it, I don't know, there's never really very clear shots of the screen, so And I also filmed it again with myself just playing it. I never even sent you those clips because upon rewatching them, I'm like, this doesn't really work.
Yeah.
The third time was the charm, and I recorded it in I actually recorded about 30 minutes of stuff, but a lot of it was just kind of repeating itself. So I cut it down to about 4.5 minutes.
Okay. No, I like how it turned out finally, because I remember you were the original one. You weren't really sure what was going on exactly, and it was fun to watch. But it was like, you know, now that you have like a handle on what it's supposed to do, it's like very tight. And you guys can watch it for yourself. Why am I trying to sell it?
Yeah, just watch the Bomberman video. And if you know anything more about this game, I can't find anything in English on the internet about it. And the Japanese stuff is mainly just like ones, like the machine for sale, or just like production numbers. But like, it seems like this, it came out like pre-internet, really. You know, pre-World Wide Web. It came out in 92. But since it was a coin-op only Bomberman, that was only really made for like a certain type of arcades that did Metal Redemption and never got a press release, there's just not a lot of information out on it at all. And when I look on lists of Bomberman games, it's not even listed. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Watch the video, and let's help solve the mystery.
Yeah, you know, games like that, though, aren't made to be won, so it's like there's not a lot of value probably in getting a copy. It's like, why can't I blow up these things? It's because it's trying to prevent you from winning metal things.
I want to buy an arcade cab of it. It's so cool.
Well, cool. Well, I think that's pretty good for our little Famicom Dojo. As Adam would say, he wants to know who's going to eat the cracker. He'll get that.
Okay. Anyway, there's a lot more Famicom Dojo coming up. This is fun to have a little bit of nostalgia, but looking forward to the future. I really think that 2013, the end of 2013 and going into 2014 are going to be really good years for Famicom Dojo, for the podcast, new content. We're gonna start doing some Wii U stuff.
Oh yeah, that's actually going to be coming around really, really soon. I've been working on some Keep Playing stuff for Wii U, so that should be hanging out real soon.
And we're gonna film some little bits and pieces while I'm in America. So if you do come out to see us, you might find yourself needing to sign a piece of paper so we can put you in a video.
Oh no. So yeah, please subscribe to our new YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/FamicomDojo. If you haven't subscribed to Sean Orange already, I recommend doing that. And don't unsubscribe, because there's still going to be plenty of cool, fun things going on there. Eh? Right? Sure?
Sure.
Yeah. So we're also on Facebook as Famicom Dojo, and Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Instagram, Famicom Dojo. I've been having a lot of fun with that, putting like little history lessons into every picture. And we got noticed by the Retro Collective already, so we like doubled our followers in one day as a result. It's pretty cool.
I'm getting us on Mixi for our Japanese followers.
Ooh.
It's basically Japanese MySpace.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got an account on there already, but I'm going to see if I can get one for Famicom Dojo for all of those who speak English but don't want to use an English site like Facebook because it's going to be like 3 people. but might as well.
Yeah, why not?
And let for comments this time, let us know. Would you like us to do more of a just straight up, this is the console, this is me talking about the console, done? You know, if that type of content is interesting to you, please let us know. We're willing to try all kinds of different stuff. It's a new it's we just finished 6 years of doing it pretty much the same way. So just let then also leave us some comments about what you would like to see in a Famicom Dojo Kickstarter.
Yes.
Because we've got some good ideas now. It's pretty much all written out, but it's not too late at this point. If there's something you'd like to see, I give really good backwards. Mars Kickstarter.
Fascinating.
They made like $4 million.
Sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
Okay. anyway, rate, subscribe, please like us.
Cool. And I guess with that, 6 years of Dojo are over, and here's to six more.
Ooh, six. Oh my gosh. Six more? I'll be almost 40.
Shh. Just go to sleep, Vink. Just go to sleep.
You're almost 14.
Don't even. Oh god, how old will my son be? Yeah.
when Dojo reaches its 12, oh my gosh, my daughter will be 10.
Good. No. Hey, they'll be old enough to play though, and be embarrassed by us, so that's good.
Well, I mean, hopefully by that time, you know, she'll be really into retro games, because one day she's got to take over the family business.
You hear that, internet? You have this legacy to pass on.
Oh, dear. All right. Until then, the Dojo is 6 years old.
It's time to start kindergarten.
Well, that explains our level of comedy.
Oh. Hi, everyone.
Famicom Dojo.